Well, thank you, Kevin, and thanks, team, worship team, for leading us this morning. My name is Rich. I'm the pastor here at Conshohocken and Vineyard Church. Welcome to Conshohocken and Vineyard Church live and online. It is great to be with you this morning. I wanted to give a special congratulations as we welcome people to our church today to our new little addition. Madison Rose was born earlier this week. And she is doing great, and so congratulations, Han family. If you're visiting with us this morning, we don't give birth to babies very often, but when we do, we make them cute. So this is not a common occurrence, but it really is quite a fun thing that we get to experience together as a community. So congratulations, and again, if you're joining us online for the first time, thank you so much for being here. We're actually hopping online at a good time, or joining us, because we're starting a new series, which I think you'll enjoy. It's a series called The Triangle of Wisdom, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it really has been something that has been on my heart and on my mind for quite some time. And to give you a little context for where we're going, I want to wind back the clock, look and rewind a little bit. So back in the summer, in July, August, June, during that time, we had some folks help lead us in some sermons called Wise Guys. It was a series where we took little snippets from the Proverbs and talked about how we could apply that to our life. And at the time, I'd been discerning and really sensing that God was leading us to grow in wisdom, especially as we're facing these constantly changing circumstances we need to adapt. There's timeless truths within the Scripture that really help us understand and ground us in what God wants for us during this time. And so some of those ideas we talked about were trusting God with all our heart. We talked about listening to the advice of friends, trusted counselors, and wise father figures in order to be able to discern what's true and right, as well as being able to apply the ancient wisdom of the Proverbs to our digital environment in which we are living. And there's so much in there. There's so much to mine. So much gold to mine. In fact, I just finished reading through the book of Proverbs, spent a month about a proverb a day, and it was just such an enjoyable experience. There was so much more that popped out at me and that were applying to our current circumstances. I had to go and revisit and offer some of what the Lord has been speaking to me about. In fact, as I've been reading and meditating on the Proverbs in the wisdom literature in the Scriptures, which is right in the middle of your Bible, there are Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, great books. I enjoyed so much. There are these mega themes that popped out at me. And as I was meditating and reading and praying, I felt the Lord was speaking to me about our current circumstances here in our country, all the things that are happening even in our world, in an uncanny kind of way. Usually, recently, I've been having more dialogues, and I felt God had been giving me some advance notice of things that were going to happen. I may be able to get into more details about that, but the bottom line is I feel strongly a sense from the Spirit, and as I prayed and talked with trusted friends of mine, myself, listened to the news, I think we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared with wisdom grounded in these timeless truths that the Proverbs offer us. So what we're going to be talking about today is walking with the wise, one of the key parts of this triangle of wisdom, which we'll be talking about more as we go along today. So let's jump right in. And by the way, if you're a youth, if you're a young person, this message is really applicable. This is the kind of message that I wish I had heard early on when I was in middle high school age, even in college. This the wisdom contained in the Scriptures here is just so valuable. So I would just want to pray, and particularly today, my heart goes out to the young people who are trying to live and grow up in this very challenging time. So let's pray. And if you could join me in praying together for the young people in the high schools and for one another, if you are a young person. So Heavenly Father, thank you for that we get to sing to you, even though we're apart. Thanks that we get to sing to you when we're together. And I bring the youth before you, all of the young people who are growing in adolescence, growing into maturity, and discovering this odd time to grow and finding difficult circumstances that, I don't know, not many generations have faced before us. But in the midst of this, God, we pray for the youth. We pray that you would give them wisdom and how to live. You would give them discernment to follow you and to care for one another and to develop friendships and become wise people during these tumultuous times. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of each one of us, particularly those who are young, to help us see what is right and to discern what is good for our lives, particularly as it pertains to who we spend time with. So thank you, God, for this opportunity, and Holy Spirit, just make the most of it for each one of us listening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today's message takes a little inspiration from last week's message, if you joined us. The emphasis was on friendship and community and how we do life together and genuine friendship. And what we learned as we looked at genuine friendship is that all genuine good friendship that flows from a place of selfless love, self-sacrificial love, comes and flows from our relationship with God, ultimately our relationship with Jesus, who became our friends even when we were his enemies. And as we find our source and our identity in Jesus, we can then become the kind of friends that love selflessly, despite the differences that we have with other people. And we looked at David and Jonathan and their friendship that they had, King David, and how that illustrated this kind of sacrificial, generous love, this mutual concern and intentional faithfulness that they had for one another as they expressed their friendship. So that's what we talked about yesterday. And today, as we look at the Proverbs, we see the Proverbs saying really the same kind of things. There's this consistency all throughout the Scriptures about how we do friendship and relationship with one another. And I want to read you one of those, or a few of them, but we'll start off, I want to start off with Proverbs 18:24. This is what it says. The one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And don't we all need friends who will stick with us in whatever is going on? That those are the kind of friends that we need. When adversity hits, when we're at our worst, those are the friends that we need. And it's important to take initiative to develop friendships. One of the key takeaways last week is that if we want to have friends who are faithful and true and trusted and loving, we first need to be a friend. However, as our friendships go on, for a friendship to last, it needs to be a mutually loving relationship. We need people in our lives who will love us despite whatever is going on. And we offer what we have to offer. And as our circumstances become more difficult, and it just may be the case that our circumstances are going to get worse before they get better, although I'm praying that they won't, in these trying times, one of the key pieces of wisdom is that we need trusted friends in our lives, reliable friends who we can count on no matter what the circumstances are. You see, the people that we have in our life, the people that you have in your life, matter. They matter a lot. In fact, the people that you have that you're closest to will change the course of your entire life. And that's the key, one of the key pieces or sides of the triangle of wisdom, which is really just a paradigm for looking at the mega themes in the book of Proverbs. But if you're convinced, so what we're going to do is if you're convinced, yes, all right, last week we talked about it, maybe you understand intuitively, it's great, I need to have good friends in my life, I need to have friends who I can rely on, I need to choose friends who I can count on and who love me and all of that. So if you're on the same page, let's just assume that, and now you're ready to move forward, but maybe you're not quite sure how you discern who that person is, and you want to invest and you want to be a good friend, but you need wisdom for the kind of person to look for as a close friend. And young people, again, this is especially for you. Here are a few of the key things you need to look for, and really one main idea that I want to communicate to you. It's a simple idea, but it's something important, often overlooked. Better is easier well done than well said, and that's this. Simply choose your friends carefully. Don't just choose anyone, but choose your friends carefully. That's a big idea. It says in Proverbs 12:26, it says this, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, it certainly does make finding friends more difficult, but it is the wise thing to do. When I was a young child, every time I got into trouble, I was generally a pretty good kid, but whenever I get into trouble, I found there was a pattern. It was because I was following the example of one of the troublemakers in the class, and I myself became a troublemaker. I can look at examples in elementary school, middle school, high school. I remember one time in high school, my one friend said, let's rebel against this no shorts rule. And so I said, okay, yeah, I'm gonna wear shorts. And then I immediately went to school and got sent back home. So that didn't really work out too well for me. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about here. Here's some other key points of wisdom that might be a little bit more difficult to discern, though. So in Proverbs, particularly Proverbs 16, it says this. It says that choosing our friends carefully means choosing friends who don't gossip. Let's look at Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So in high school, particularly, and then there was the beginning of college, I remember the most painful and difficult time socially and just in general emotionally was when I had done something. I think I was having girl problems at the time. Now I don't have any more girl problems because I'm married to such a wonderful woman, Jess, who's actually going to speak to us later today, so just hold on. But the peanut gallery's talking to me. Sorry, I got distracted there for a second. So when I was in high school, they were talking about me behind my back, and just the pain and the shame I felt because of the gossip that had happened. And in today's age, you don't even have to be in person to gossip. You can just open your phone and you can send a message that shames someone immediately over social media, just instantaneously. And so I would encourage you, particularly as young people or as people living in this digital age, to be very careful how you choose your friends and what kind of social media that you use in order to operate socially. If someone you know, here's the thing, this is a piece of advice I learned in high school, and it goes right along with this proverb, is that if someone you know or that you talk to, you consider a friend, talks about other people while they're with you, you can take it to the bank that that person is going to talk about you while you are not with them. And I found that true again and again and again. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So avoid those who gossip, or avoid gossiping with people. And also, these are encouragements that we don't be these kinds of people, that we would avoid gossiping at all costs. Better to steer clear. And so there's this kind of, especially when you're younger, but it also happens in work environments. I mean, it happens among adults too. Let's just be honest. We haven't all grown up. But there's this kind of like cool feeling you get if we can talk about people and kind of share this sense of being against someone because of it makes us feel better about ourselves, or somehow gives us a sense of security or community in the way that we stand against others. And there's this phrase that I heard at one point. I believe this is the phrase, but the phrase I want to summarize it as is called a friendship of vice. In other words, it's a friendship that's built around something that is not quite so holy, like gossip or a disdain or anger against a certain people group or person. It's a shared or common vice that we share that builds a false kind of community based on that hatred or based on that anger. Listen to Proverbs 22:24. It says this: do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, and do not associate with one who is easily angered. And it's easy to develop, particularly in our contentious world, this tension world, this political world, to build friendships that are based on standing against another person or a group or philosophy or idea. But there's warnings in the Proverbs against that. Now, a friendship of vice could be a group of bullies on the playground who enjoy beating up on the smaller kids or the nerdier kids or the weird kids. Or it could be a multinational organization built for showing terror and hurting other people who don't fit whatever they feel is the right way of living or being or believing. So it spans the globe at all different ages and all different manifestations. And much of the polarization we see today in politics, we see this us versus them mentality, whether it's Republican versus Democrat, or liberal versus conservative, or wearing masks versus not wearing masks, and you fill in the blank, whatever it might be. We have a tendency to see things in us versus them, and we kind of get with quote-unquote our people and stand against those people. But that kind of living, or that kind of quote-unquote wisdom, is not wisdom at all. In fact, it's incompatible with the way that God teaches us to live in the Scriptures, this creating this echo chamber effect. You see, the way of the wicked leads them astray, as we see in Proverbs 12:26. And in fact, it's this kind of friendship of vice which leads to the worst kind of atrocities and the worst things that we see in the world. This kind of thinking built on falsehood should be avoided, because really they manifest themselves in all sorts of ways, whether it's violence, gang violence, or institutionalized racism or oppression of all different kinds. These are built on these ideas, these friendships, these groups of people that join together based on an idea that is not only unbiblical, but is unhealthy, ungodly, and harmful to another person or other people. So choosing our friends carefully also means choosing our friends who will be honest with us. Remember Sloan Dameron a few months ago during our series highlighted Proverbs 27:6, which says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Yeah, I encourage you to check that out. Great message. But the idea is that we need people in our lives who will be honest with us, who will speak to us even when it hurts. Those are the kind of friends that we need. Friends who won't be afraid and take initiative to tell us as it is, even when it's hard to hear. And part of that also means choosing friends who give us advice worth listening to, or not just airing their own opinions or like listening to themselves talk. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice." So usually the friends who have advice worth listening to aren't the people who necessarily have it all together. They're the people who have made mistakes and have changed and learned and grown from their mistakes. In fact, the folks that I love spending the most time with, my good friends, are people who are constantly learning, whether they're reading books or they're admitting they went for it and they failed miserably, but along the way they're learning and they're sharing their wisdom with me, and they don't think themselves to be know-it-all. So I've enjoyed reading books with friends and sharing those insights. Or really, my best friends are those who I can pray with and people who I can seek God and share the good things that God is doing with people. Even Jesus, remember, he says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends," because he wanted to share with them what the Father was doing. And true friendship, the basis for true friendship and genuine friendship isn't building yourself against another people group in a friendship advice. No, it's built on the foundation of sharing what God is doing in the midst of the community. Some of the best, most life-giving community is when you're sharing in what God is doing in one's life or in the community's life. I can't tell you, it was just so wonderful this week as I participated in small groups, how exciting it was to look at God's word together, to discern what God was saying, to pray for one another. It's just the sense of community and friendship that develops in the process of pursuing God together is unmatched with any other kind of friendship in the world, with God in the center of the friendship. Think of it like a triangle. Here's another paradigm, a triangle paradigm, which I've used for marriage, describe how marriages work well in health. But if you think of two friends at the base of the triangle who are walking towards God together, as they walk towards God, they in fact are becoming closer to one another. And this is how it works within Christian community, in the body of Christ, as it's called, is that as we pursue God together, we develop a stronger relationship and love for one another. And if you keep all these things in mind, you'll do really well in looking for a friend. And this is my desire and hope, not only for our church, but for the youth, that we can develop, have friendships that are built on God's wisdom and not on the worldly wisdom that we see so callously offered through social media or through what people are saying. Now, tying it back to the triangle of wisdom, what are we talking about? Well, there's going to be three key pieces for what it means. Actually, four, because we're going to look at the middle, that where it starts. We'll do that next week. But that one key piece is this, okay? And you've probably got the idea, is to choose your friends carefully. But if you want to be a wise person, if that you have a vision for your life to be a wise person, you need to have other wise people in your life. In other words, you need to walk with the wise. Proverbs 13:20 says this: "Walk with the wise, and you become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So if you want to become a wise person, young people, or old people, however old or young you are, it doesn't matter. If you want to become a wise person, walk with wise people. Have wise friends. Choose friends who are wise, and you, in the process, will become a wise person. Now, I want to invite my wife, Jess, up, because she has lived a life of learning and really living into this kingdom reality that we see being expressed in the truths of this Proverbs and walking with wise people. And I'm not going to share her story for her. I would like to share her, let her share for herself. So, Jess, why don't you come on up, and you can welcome Jess with me. I'm going to step off and allow her to share a little bit more for her story.
Thank you, Rich. So I'm Jess, Rich's wife, and some of you may have heard my story before. I'm not going to get into all of the details of it, just share a piece. When I was 16, I moved to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and made some new friends. I decided, as a new kid, which I had moved around quite a bit growing up, so moving around, being the new kid was not new, unique for me. But I decided this time around I wanted to try hanging out with different kind of group of kids. And some of the so-called friends I made would invite me to parties at school, and from their kids from school, they would invite me to parties, and I would go with them, and we would drink and smoke and do some things that were just not good at all. And for some of you, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And I found myself lying to my family about what I was doing. And I would be lying probably, it's so long ago at this point, but like the little things to the big things about who I was with, where I was, what I was doing. And I started to really hate that about myself. I started to not like myself. It was awful. I felt like I was living a lie because I was. I was living a lie. And it got to the point where I got in trouble. I was found out some of the things I was doing. And interestingly enough, some of these kids from school also went to the church I was at. And these kids were older than me, significantly by a couple years. So they were seniors, not walking with Jesus, but attending the church. And when I was found out and got into trouble, like, they all were kind of found out as well. And I became ostracized by them, which in the long run was really good for me. But I would go to school and I would just feel eyes on me. Like, these people decided to not talk to me anymore. I became singled out as this, like, troublemaker by them, which really wasn't true towards them, but that's what they thought. And so I was lonely. I felt lonely at school, but I hit this rock bottom place and decided that it was a good opportunity to turn my life around, to meet people who love God. And I had no clue how to really do that where I was, quite honestly. So I felt lonely for a little bit. And but peace as well. But I remember this one time I was sitting in a study hall class, and there was this guy behind me. And I just had this thought, like, like, I was listening to him talk with some other people, and I thought, he sounds different. I wonder what he's like. And I don't know why I asked him this question the way I did. It was kind of awkward. I can be kind of awkward sometimes. It's okay. Embrace who you are. I do. It's all right. But I turned around and said to him, "Are you a Christian?" And he was like kind of caught off guard, but just said, "Yes, I am." And a friendship began with him. Because I think I said, "Me too." And we started being friends. And we were just friends. There was never any like weird romantic anything there. Rich is quite happy about that. But he actually introduced me to his mom, and she became someone who spoke into my life. She became a mentor for me, someone I really needed, who was outside of my family. My family loves me. They're wonderful. And the people I was living with, my aunt and uncle, they love Jesus. They were absolutely wonderful people. But I needed somebody who wasn't close to me during that season, who knew me from, yeah, they just, I needed someone who was apart, removed, that could speak into my life so I could receive truth in a good way. Like I could fully receive it. And she did this for me. It was amazing. And so I had my friend Matt, and then my friend Danielle, also from school, who Danielle and I are still friends today. She was actually in my wedding, and I haven't seen her in a while. But whenever we do see each other, it's like picking right back up. It's wonderful. Such a gift. And that time really taught me, like, I need to be aware of who I'm spending time with. I need to be aware of, like, the decisions, the choices that others are making, because I'm impacted, and I lived that out. I used to think that I wasn't somebody who would be vulnerable in that way or could easily be swayed to make poor choices in life, but that's exactly what was happening. And so when I realized that and was able to put my feet on firm, solid ground and knowing who I was in Jesus and that confidence that I don't want to be like those other people, I want to be who God says I am and follow him, I was able to make friends. And I'm good with having just a couple friends. I have seasons in life where I have more than that, and I have seasons in life where it's just one or two. And I'm so grateful because Rich actually came into my life right around that time as well. And he was just such a gift and really a voice of wisdom that I needed to hear. I met him when I was 16, and it was very important to me, the impact and the words of truth and wisdom that he would speak to me. Just was so important to me and really, really helped form who I am today, which is kind of awesome. So my heart is such, like, for young kids, even you're in middle school and high school, I really, really care about you. And it matters who you're hanging out with. During this COVID season, it's been really rough. I know you've been alone. My kids have been alone. They have each other, but they're still alone often, and they miss being with each other. And I want to invite you next Sunday after the in-person service. I want to invite you, if you are in middle school, in high school, to join me and go on a walk, and we'll just hang out together. The location is still to be determined, and afterwards we can go get like a snack, a pretzel or ice cream or something together. It would be really wonderful to connect and spend time with each other. And I really hope that you join us. So I'm going to invite Rich back up now.
Thanks, Jess. That was great. So moral of the story, I guess, is before meeting Rich, it was all calamity and disaster. And after is rainbow and giggles. So that's great. Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it. No, I mean, it was good. That was really powerful, actually. I'm joking about that. But the people you have in your life make a huge difference. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, we're going to close. We're going to worship God together. But I want to close just giving you a picture of Jesus again. Because it all always comes back to Jesus and his friendship with us. And of course, the Proverbs, or maybe not of course, maybe you don't see this, but the Proverbs are what are called conventional wisdom. Just general things that are generally true for the most part. They're not ironclad promises, but things that are generally true about life, and we'd be wise to pay attention to them. But people come along, and Jesus came along and defied conventional wisdom repeatedly. And in a sudden turn from conventional wisdom, Jesus came on the scene, and he became a companion of fools and suffered harm on purpose so that we could ultimately become friends with God and have friends who are godly and loving and wise in our own lives. Jesus came, the wisest man who ever lived, who was God himself, walked among the foolish, walked among the sheep who needed a shepherd, so that we could then find the true wisdom of God. And he made that decision and chose, because of his love and his desire to be friends with us. And perhaps today all of this this Jesus stuff or pursuing God is new, but know this, that Jesus, as God, as the Son of God, desires to be your friend, to extend to you an invitation, even in the midst of our foolishness, that we all have. And we've all done foolish things. We've all gotten angry. We've all turned against other people. We've all done things that are wrong. And we need the one, Jesus himself, who comes, the perfect wise person, to make the way to God. And that's what Jesus did. And his suffering of harm on the cross made that possible by paying for our sins, paying the price for our sins so that we could be right with him. And there's an invitation to those of you today who are listening, whether you're young or old, this is the invitation to humanity that God extends in his graciousness and love towards us, is that you can be a friend of God. Let's close in prayer, and then what I'd like to do is to have us worship together. Father, thank you for your love, and thank you for sending your Son to a foolish world, among us who are so foolish and so easily go astray, so that we could be friends with God for eternity. Holy Spirit, I pray you would bring conviction to our hearts of your love for us, and you would give grace for us to turn away from relationships or behaviors that are foolish. And today, if you want to follow Jesus and accept that invitation, you can say, Jesus, would you be my friend? I turn away from my companionship with the worldly things and the sins of my past life, and I want to pursue a relationship and following and loving you. And for everyone else, I pray a blessing over you, that you would be wise in the way that you walk, and the way that you choose your friends, so that we can be the kind of people that you've ultimately created us to be. I want to take a moment, just pause, take a purposeful pause to allow the Holy Spirit to continue speaking right before we worship, and then we'll worship together. So Holy Spirit, if there's anything else you'd want to say or do, we give you a moment of silence to break through. And believe God's word to us, each of us today. Just know that you are loved. You are cherished, and you are loved.